Also, I would like to commend whoever mixed the backtrack of the Joe Flacco press conference today. It sounded like he was on afternoon drive on any given day.
Mac, you got to speak for yourself here.
Yeah, Mac, it was the funny. I wish we could just play excerpts of Joe, because Joe was, you know, Joe will be very serious and at some point defensive, and then he'll also be very humorous. And at one point, I just hear Mac go,
"Yeah, but were the jokes worthy of a laugh, or was there a lot of courtesy laughs?"
Are you suggesting there were courtesy laughs for Joe Flacco?
I think there was some courtesy laughs out there. Man, we should have had maybe Jake, if you're working on it, maybe we can pull some of the clips where Mac really makes it seem like he's at the Chuckle Hut. And so then we can judge whether they were courtesy laughs or real laughs from Mac Robinson.
Let's give him a chance to defend himself here. Were they Chuckle Hut laughs, or were you just, he's that funny to you?
No, it was coming off as that funny for me.
Okay.
Which jokes today really got you going?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Birbiglia, John Mulaney, Joe Flacco. They're all in the same group.
He's more of a, who's have some Senka. Who's that?
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, that's Joe Flacco.
Oh!
Have some Senka. Have a mentor. Oh, but it ain't me. Oh,
we're listening to it in the back, and all of a sudden, Nick hears you laugh and calls it out, and I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, because here's the thing: I heard it once, and I was like, "That couldn't possibly be Mac." And then I remembered you were standing about a foot and a half away from Joe Flacco, and then it felt like you were like, "I'm not saying this is what actually happened, but how it sounded is you kept getting closer to Joe because acoustically." The laugh got louder and louder.
If Joe Flacco could just use you as a whole bunch of audience members, he really would be like the next great comic. It would be. He's like Dave Chappelle if it was just a whole bunch of yous that
ringer.
Existed
no,
out
that's
there.
Mac is the kind, because it happens on the show.
Like he's like, a plant almost.
Yeah, where just a ringer.
Just so that you can get the big laughs.
Yeah, Mac, how do we feel about all this?
I mean, I thought that some of the stuff that he was saying was actually pretty funny for me.
Like, what was the best line?
Yeah, what's the one that really got you?
Which one did you enjoy the most?
The one where he was reacting to, I think it was Daniel. I can't remember his last name off the top of my head.
yeah, you can.
No.
You just don't know how to say it.
You don't want to butcher it.
When he was saying the fact that he's playing with teammates that might have been in grade school when he came into the league.
Yeah.
So just talk about how old he was.
I thought that was like his C gimmick.
That was a real knee slapper for you.
I thought the funniest one was when he was like, you know, even my wife was like, we drafted another one. I thought that one was good.
That one was good.
But that's not the one you went to. So we actually have that audio. I wonder if, let's just play it real quick because I want to see if the laughter was left in. The wife's reaction to...
I think you always have a little bit of reaction, going back to being honest. Yeah, I mean, my wife was like, oh, they just drafted another guy. My wife is on top of it, you know? So
they cut it off, though. They cut it off.
Jake, I appreciate
twice
you.
Twice he started to, and he knew that.
Run it back right now.
We need unedited audio
The raw audio.
Unedited audio of Mac.
Yeah, I mean, my wife was like... Oh, they just drafted another guy. My wife is on top of it, you know? So there you go.
Twice.
Because Mac is like a volcano of laughter. Like, you don't just start with Krakatoa with Mac. He gets the giggles.
There's a build.
And then eventually the giggle goes, initially the giggle's like, and then it's like, oh, now the second joke.
You think,
and then it just goes from there.
You think Joe's listening along? He hears that in one of the updates and is like, wait, no, that joke killed. Everyone laughed.
Why'd they edit them? What are we doing here?
They got rid of my laugh track. What happened?
I guess I got to have some Senka.
Have some Senka.
Oh.
I'm glad you had a good time today, Mac.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It's good to see you enjoying yourself.
Do you think
out there.
If Joe Flacco were doing a one-man show in hilarities, yeah. Would you go see it? After what you saw today.
You loved him. I almost wondered if you had like patted him on the back when he was done. I'm like, great set, man.
Yeah.
Great set.
Hey, the wife stuff really played today.
That was great. Primo.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that was vintage shades of early Richard Pryor, I thought.
I'd probably go check it out.
Probably. Yeah, your ass.
He loved it.
All right. Now, the opposite of acting is, can't say that, of maybe being gracious with your laughter. Terry Bradshaw was on, what's the website? It's the other one in Pittsburgh. They don't know the name of it.
No. He was on it was a Arkansas radio station.
Why was he on Arkansas radio?
I don't know why he does Arkansas radio, but he was doing Arkansas radio.
Isn't it The Buzz?
Is that the Arkansas station radio the station?
Yeah, because there's no good.
I believe you would know that.
There's no good sports talk station names. It's like The Fan, well, the Ticket,
a lot of them. Yeah.
The Buzz, The Ref. I've heard The Ref before. I'm like, who in the hell would want to be the referee? And like, nobody, hey, you want to listen to the referee talk? No. No one wants that.
Yeah, 103.7 The Buzz in Little Rock. The Buzz.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's 103.7 The Buzz. Weather and traffic coming up in 15 minutes. But now we got this crazy bastard, Terry Bradshaw. So Terry Bradshaw was on Arkansas radio and teed off on his former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in defense of Kenny Pickett.
Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
I liked Kenny Pickett. I liked him at Pitt. I know him. I know what he's like. And when they got him to Pittsburgh, here's what they didn't do. They didn't protect him. They didn't get him on offensive line. They wanted to run the football, but they didn't have an offensive line that could protect, and they didn't have weapons. He had no wide receivers to speak of.
Right.
Then you throw a kid in there for 2 years, and you got an offense that doesn't fit and doesn't work, and they can't run because their offensive line is not even good enough for a run-blocking team. And therefore, they say Pickett was a failure. He wasn't a failure. The Steelers were a failure. Yeah. Now Pickett goes to Philadelphia as a backup. He gets a Super Bowl ring. He's traded to Cleveland, who now has four quarterbacks.
Right.
And Pittsburgh really has one, I guess.
Yeah.
Man, that Super Bowl ring's really carrying a lot of water in that conversation, isn't it?
That was a lot.
Those 18 passing attempts in that final week of the season game, carrying a lot of weight there, Terry. Well,
and coming from a guy that won four of them in Bradshaw, you think he'd maybe make that carry a little bit more weight and be like, I actually earned those things?
All right, so let's set that off to the side. And there's another part of this where Terry does have a weird relationship with his old team, whether it's the town of Pittsburgh, whether it's the organization itself. There's been a lot, even, and it goes beyond like the Chuck Knoll problems.
Well, I mean, that
problems.
Part, that part right there was bashing him pretty hard.
Yeah, and okay, so there actually is some validity to what he said. They've never really put a great offensive line to Pittsburgh. And honestly,
I think this is the bet that Stefanski's making, by the way.
It's going on a decade. Like going back to when they drafted Mike Adams, and Mike came into the NFL and was one of the softest left tackles. With love, Mike, you're bigger than me, you could beat my ass. NFL soft, not real life soft. But there's you can't say no weapons. He had Deontay Johnson and George Pickens when they were both actually productive. I still think Freiermuth is the most under. I think if any other offense, he would actually be like a 800 to 1,000 yard touchdown. I'll give you the offensive line. I don't know how much of a pass I can give you on this, though.
I mean, I believe that Tomlin doesn't know what he's doing with quarterbacks. Ben was so great that he just was able to rise above it. Outside of that, show me the quarterback that Mike Tomlin doesn't know what he's doing with.
That's fair. Mike's also hired made a lot of really dumb offensive coordinator hires. The Todd Haley one was dumb.
The Matt Canada one was dumb.
The Matt Canada one was the most aggressively dumb. The ironic thing is, if you had had Arthur Smith 2 years previously, then you would have already seen Kenny Pickett and the kind of offense the Browns want to run.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's fair. But I like this defense of Pickett, and it's not that I think it's going to be the greatest thing ever, but it showcases to you why the Browns would think we can do something with Kenny.
All right. So I think the biggest reason why the biggest glimmer of hope that I give that Kenny won't be booty stank, the biggest is actually the fact that they put him in a system that he doesn't fit in. Meaning, like, Matt Canada continued to run a weird, wonky system. I actually think he fits more into, like, the Arthur Smith, Kevin Stefanski system. I think the offensive line thing is a bit of a cop-out because I think there's a relationship or correlation between the quarterback and O-line. I think the easiest way... I actually think they protected him because they didn't ask him to pass a lot. Like, they were actually...
a lot of hand in the ball.
Despite a bad offensive line, they actually ran the ball consistent enough to score enough points to win games and win.
I mean, that's their bread and butter.
Anywhere from 9 to 11 games a season with him. So
and they did the same thing, by the way, even with Arthur Smith. That's what they did last year between Fields and Russell Wilson.
So I'm willing to meet Terry Bradshaw halfway. I still am not. And actually Phelps and I were talking about it in when the shows were kind of passing there, because we have a peaceful transfer of power between our show and their show. No shenanigans.
No throwing hot dogs.
No hot dog throwing, unless it's ass stuff. Us. And then if Jeff says, can you throw a hot dog at me?
I would throw a hot dog Jeff. At him. Yeah, I would.
But only if it's asked.
I would do a hot dog cannon for him too if he wanted.
Oh, in this small of a room, you might kill him.
If he asked for it, he's got it.
That's true. It's America. You choose your own way to die.
When Jeff asks you to do something, you do something.
And Jeff and Andy, stellar humans.
No doubt about that.
So I'm willing to meet Terry halfway. What I was talking about with Jeff, though, is I hate the Sam Darnold comparison. And I understand that, because here's the thing, it's just the latest thing that we do with the NFL. Before Sam, it was Baker. And every year there is a rehabilitation prospect that tends to come through. Jared Goff was this guy 3 years ago. Every year we've got at least one guy who everyone goes in saying, that guy stinks, and comes out smelling better.
Geno Smith was that guy too.
My problem, I actually think Geno's a better comparison, because Geno was the 39th pick in the draft and Kenny was the 20th pick. When we talk about Darnold, Baker, or Goff, it's about a number 2 number 1s and a number 3 pick in the draft. So physically, the skill set is not the same with Kenny. Kenny better be just an otherworldly processor of what they want him to do, because physically, he is average as average can be. That's to me where I hate the Sam Darnold comparison specifically, who is always a physical unicorn and could have been the number 1 pick that year.
So what I can never truly figure out is that, are they trying to do the rehab project, or is he going to try to do what Shanahan has done in San Francisco? And I've always accused Stefanski of trying to basically mimic and copy Shanahan at every turn that he possibly can. Well, if you're going that route, that means you can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. That means you can win with Brock Purdy. You just need him to be that level. Nothing great, but you can be the one to do it. While the other side of it, the rehab side of it, is a little bit different in my opinion.
So, all right, here's where I think I'm willing to meet you halfway. To me, Kenny Pickett is like the show me quarterback. Like, I have never seen anything in the NFL with Kenny Pickett, even week 18 last year with Philly. I've never seen anything that I've thought that guy was anything special. He looks like a typical NFL. I think he's an NFL quarterback, by the way. But in terms of the everything, like when you watch him, there's nothing that he does that has ever wowed me. He is as vanilla of a quarterback to watch, in my opinion, with love and respect to tiny baby hands Kenny Pickett as possible. But this is Kevin's chance. That is Kevin's chance to get back to being the guy that, look what he did with Jacoby Brissett. Look what he did with, you know, fill in the blank here.
Right.
So, like, on one hand, I look at this and I go, well, Flacco's 40, Kenny's booty stank, and he got a third and a fifth round rookie. On the other hand, it's like, I mean, Kevin again today went all in on Kenny Pickett. Like, it's apparent he really sees something in Kenny Pickett. So at some point, I got to take you at your word, and I got to take you at your actions.
Well, yeah.
And your words and actions says he doesn't look at Kenny Pickett and see the same thing I do.
We'll see. It'll be interesting to monitor as this goes along, because there will either be a point where he there will be
distances
a point.
Distances himself?
Well, it's not even distance himself. Like, I wonder if he keeps the same mentality if all of a sudden they're like, oh no, Pickett's not it. He can never be it. Which, by the way, would surprise me, because in Pittsburgh, one of the few things that he did that was awesome was these type of moments. The OTAs, the training camps. This is where people fell in love with Kenny Pickett.
Preseason Pickett.
They thought he was great. That's where Pony came up with that line of Montana to Rice. With that whole combo was based off of preseason football games.
Huffing paint.
That's true. That too. But I wonder if they realize they're going to have to trade Kenny Pickett, how Kevin Stefanski attacks that. If he just continues to prop him up, almost to be like, look what we have. And then, oh yeah, Kellen Moore, you need a quarterback. It's going to cost you that much more because we love him that much.
So the interesting thing about that is I just don't think Kevin traffics in those waters. Like, I think Andrew does a good job of playing the shell game and all that. I don't think Kevin says anything unless he believes it. I can't think of a single time where I think he was put the glaze on, as the kids say, for the betterment of the organization, right?
I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, he spoke very highly of DTR when he knew better.
No, that's fair. Well, but not the way. So, I mean, it's a different game with Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. Like, it's like talking about, like, hey, I saw this girl on Tinder versus talking about your wife.
Oh, no, DTR. Like, it was what I said. Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Oh, no, I mean, compared to what he said from DTR.
Okay.
He just talked up Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett as a second coming.
Got it.
Like, even there are levels to that. 216-474-0092. Did the Steelers fail Kenny Pickett? More on this in the Browns quarterback situation coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.